Turn to John 14 or scroll there, depending on what device you have this morning. As you're turning there, I want to bring up a question. Anyone experienced some winter weather this past week? Diamonds. That's an interesting way of looking at it. It doesn't go, you don't have to go too far to find winter. That was out my back window this morning, and it was there. You don't even have to look it because, or look at it, you can surely feel it. It's definitely winter. When I came down, my wife had stuffed a blanket across the bottom of the threshold of our door. Don't normally notice that, but in this kind of weather, we did. A little bit earlier, that was the scene, and we have seen scenes like this all week long. As a matter of fact, the Wingos, Mike and Chrissy, have scampered off to Florida. Sounds inviting, doesn't it? Yeah. To avoid some of this winter experience. Let's just talk about some of this winter experience that we've had this past week. Let's see. On Sunday, we weren't able to come here, even though the winter has reduced our ranks in COVID right now. We weren't able to come here because of snow. And then with the snow, we had some rain that came, and the plummeting temperatures with the rain well below freezing brought this kind of ice here. Let's see if I can manage this thing. Yeah, right there. That kind of ice on the road. Wednesday morning, this is what the roadway looked like when I went out to run on it. My daughter had gotten me a gift called Yak Tracks, which are things you put over your shoes that have spikes in them so that you can run on something like that. And did indeed work. So we had roads like that and frozen doors and, let's see, wind chill. Yesterday, wind chill went down to 8 degrees or less. 17 below this morning. There you go. If you want to stay up in weather, ask Dr. Stewart. He is on it. He is. So, we definitely have experienced winter weather. You know, I had a lot of opportunity to use this past week. This is a Christmas gifts I also got. My daughter got me Yak Tracks, not this year, by the way, nor did my wife get me that this year. She got me a while ago. It was a Christmas gift so that I could work shoveling. Wonderful Christmas gift. I actually do appreciate it a great deal. Derek, have you met Derek? Hope that you meet Derek. You had an opportunity. Derek stopped by the chapel. We were kind of, as he came, I was trying to get some of the snow off of the place, and I had this snow shovel out, and I got a comment like I normally do when I'm around public using this shovel. The guy stopped, and he made comment about that being a shovel. And that is a shovel. This is a monster shovel. By the way, if you want to get one, I noticed that True Value Hardware Uptown has one, but it's about $45 plus tax. I don't know what my wife paid for it, but that's right. She does. This is a great shovel. And you know, using this shovel, I noticed something this past week. That I can do this shoveling business and have the sun work with me, or I can do this shoveling business and completely not consider the impact of the sun. And by the way, I did both this week. There was a time that I was up at the chapel and I moved the snow in such a way that the sun, you know, you leave a residual, a scraping, and when you run across, you have those diamonds like you were talking about kind of left there and frozen. And the sun comes out and it, without putting out any salt, shining on that thing, melted it and dried it, and it was so nice. Then I went out after 6 and tried to take some of it off, and it was frozen and resistant and difficult and nigh unto impossible to move. Matter of fact, there's some still there right now because it wasn't moved with that ice. You know, if we change sun, S-U-N, to son, S-O-N, we have a great illustration of a promise Jesus made to us that we just have to take into account. We just have to work in accord with in our day-to-day life. It's here. John chapter 14, if you're there in John chapter 14, look with me at verse 12, where Jesus said this. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask me in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. That promise has direction for us. These are amazing. There are several promises here in this John 14 passage. It has some amazing over-the-top promises to us. You remember that that's the series we were in. That God has given us, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, exceedingly great and precious promises. These are over-the-top promises, so that we can become partaker with him in the personality, the nature he has, to join him in the way he thinks and acts and moves. Exceedingly great and precious promises. And Jesus made several of them right here. Over the top promises for us to be involved in. And it's so like this winter weather. See this picture down here? This one. Here's a picture of the sun coming up, and look what it's done to the road there. This changed to this, even though there was work in getting the snow shoveled. It melted. The works that I do, they'll do, you'll do, and greater works than these. And Jesus promises, ask me anything, and I'll do it. That's a great promise. The works that I do, you'll do. Greater works than I do, you'll do. Promises. Ask me anything, I'll do it. That's amazing. Promises. These are absolutely amazing promises. When we take into account this promise, according to the way Jesus spoke to us, we're able to do exceedingly more than what we even ask or think. So the New Testament talks to us about. You look at that and you say, what? Greater works than Jesus did? Yep. Greater works than he did, whoever believes in him. Why? And he explains that. He explains why. And finally, for clarity, that is, he clarifies for us. This is an amazing promise. This is an amazing thing. It clarifies for us this working in accord with Jesus, like working in accord with the sun in shoveling snow, and as we take that into account, like he said, what gets accomplished? This is amazing. Let's start here with this what. What? That we can do greater works than Jesus? What? To whoever believes, Jesus said, they will do works that I do. You will do those also. Now, to really get a good grasp on this, I want you to look at verse 12 and notice something there with me. Jesus said in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, we've heard that formula before, right? Have you heard Jesus use that expression before? What is he going after? What do we know when he uses that expression? He's emphasizing it. Yeah, you know, there are 23, up to this point, different times that Jesus used that phrase to emphasize something. And it actually comes from Hebrew, the words that he uses here. They actually come from Hebrew, and they mean surely. This is firm. And he says it twice, emphasizing this is a sure thing. You can stake your life on this. Stake your life on this. This is a sure thing. And notice some of the things that he said when he used this formula. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, except one be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life and will not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone that commits sin is the slave of sin. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that's just a few of the 25 statements where he used that statement. Jesus is giving us a truly, truly, I say to you statement, underscoring that you can stake your life on this. This is a statement that is a for sure thing. Take it to the bank. Now, one guy talking on the amazing promises that are laid out for us here, and these are such amazing promises that I didn't want us to slide by them. I wanted to bring them home to us that we need to take these into account, and we need to live accordingly with what Jesus said here to bring the power of the Son to play on the path of life we have, to bring it into operation, that melting power of the sun. One guy speaking on this said, in this short section, Jesus shows them the potential of faith to change their lives and the world around them. This, by the way, is Grant Osborne, who is a well-known Bible teacher, especially in the New Testament. Thus far, Jesus has centered on the works of God through him. Now, he applies these truths to the works of the disciples themselves, Christ followers. We are moving from illuminating faith to appropriating faith, taking it and using it. Those who fully comprehend will now, through the Spirit, discover the incredible spiritual power available to them. That's the point that Jesus is driving for. He captures it great. Whoever believes in me, whoever trusts me, you know, that's a vision for us, very needed this year. It's about trusting I am. That's what it's about. It's about transferring confidence from what you think and what you see to what the Lord says and what He's doing. And here we have the amazing power of the Son that we work with in doing it. Amazing power, much more than the physical Son. To those who believe in me, they will do the works that I do. What works did Jesus do? What works did Jesus do? Here's an interesting summary. This is a summary of what Jesus did that was given in the book of Acts. It says this: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good. He went everywhere doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus did supernatural things. He did supernatural things. Things that were good, they were supernatural. Raising people from the dead, healing the blind, healing the lame. He did amazing supernatural things in the physical realm. Would you agree with that? There are seven of them in the book of John that are pointers that he is the Christ. Signs that point that he is the Christ. And the promise here is that you will do the works that I do. That's amazing. Is it true that we can enter into amazing supernatural things and works of God on earth? Jesus said he did these by the finger of God. That's what he said. Can we enter into those? Well, if you believe, if you trust me, you will enter into those. You will. You will be able to go around doing good. You will be able, let me take you back to that, you will be able to deal with those who are oppressed by the devil, for God will be with you. This is a summary in the book of Acts of what Jesus did. You will. You see, folks, we function in a natural realm with supernatural capabilities. We function there. We live there, according to what Jesus said. He who believes in me, whoever believes in me, will do the works that I do. You know, we have prayed in this church for people to be healed. They were. Now, it's not that you and I have in our hands this ability to command and direct God on who he's going to heal, because it's by the finger of God that Jesus did this. But he did do this. And there are ways and means that he tells us for going about joining him in what he's doing. Not long ago, I was given a book called The Unseen Realm, Recovering the Supernatural Worldview of the Bible. I have been spending some time with this. And do you know that the Bible talks about the supernatural taking place? It does. And what Jesus is talking to us about here is entering in with him to the supernatural and doing the works that he does. The power of the sun to melt ice can do it on its own, will do it on its own. But you and I can work with this and see much more accomplished if we work with the sun on this. If we work with the sun. This is the promise. I didn't make this up. I didn't concoct this. This isn't some preacher going haywire. This is the Lord in the flesh, God, who tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do." He will do them. And, he adds here, "and will do greater works than these." Now, what is this about? Doing greater works than Jesus? Do you remember Jesus raised the dead? He just did that in the book of John, where he raised Lazarus from the dead. "Lazarus, come forth!" And there he comes, after being dead for days. Jesus also raised the widow's son. Do you remember that story? And he raised the centurion's daughter. What are we going to do in doing greater works than Jesus? Raise more of them than he did? How do you do a greater miracle, a greater sign in the supernatural realm coming into the physical realm than raising somebody from the dead? You know, even the faith healers don't accomplish this. I've heard faith healers challenged, if you have this gift from God, go to the hospital. Hey, no, go to the funeral home and raise the dead. To do greater works than Jesus, what are we going to do? Raise more than 3 from the dead? Well, we'd have to do more than that because Jesus tells us in John chapter 5, well, here, let's look at it. I want you to flip with me to John chapter 5. We are so close. John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus is talking, and he uses this formula, verse 25. "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son. Do not marvel. Do not sit here and excuse that, and do not say, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all, notice, it wasn't three, it's all, when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. To do a greater miracle than Jesus, we'd have to be able to raise all of the dead, because that's who he's going to do, and he's going to raise some, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and they will go to be with the Lord. And he's going to raise some, Revelation chapter 20, and they will face a judgment for their sins. Those who have trusted Christ, shown by the good that they brought forth, to life. How do we do a greater miracle? Do you do it with, do you get more power in the miracle? How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, he is making a point here. He is telling us that we will do greater miracles, and they're greater in scope. Matthew chapter 15, verse 25, Jesus says this. He's in the midst of a ministry, and there are some people who come to him who he does end up helping, but he says to them, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The scope of what we do is greater. We are not sent only to the lost sheep of Israel as Jesus was, Matthew 25, 25. That was the scope of his ministry. We're greater in scope, and that Jesus has this in mind is very clear, because he talks about all men. John chapter 12, verse 32. All men being drawn to him. After his death, after being lifted up, he will draw all men to consider him. You know, in this world of power politics and money plays and government in some countries like these persecuted countries, domination, power politics, money, that this Jesus thing prevails, that it's heard, and that now in nations like Israel, it is gaining ground among Jews. I will draw all men to myself. The scope becomes greater than the scope that Jesus had, who was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the scope that he had in this. And it becomes greater in the realm. What happened to Lazarus if Jesus raised him from the dead? Why isn't he here? If Jesus raised him from the dead, why isn't Lazarus around? Because he died. Jesus worked in these miracles in a physical realm to demonstrate. Here, let me give you an example. There was a time that Jesus was teaching like this, and suddenly some folks opened the roof and let down a man on a pallet who couldn't walk. And Jesus healed this man so that he took up this pallet and walked out of there. Amazing, powerful miracle. And what he said was that this was done so that you will know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. That's why when he said to this man, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And they questioned him, why did you say your sins are forgiven you? Why didn't you just say, stand up and walk? Because you needed to know by this physical realm miracle that the Son of Man has power on earth to do something that is far beyond this realm. And when he says that you will do greater miracles than me, he's talking about the realm that we work in. We work in a physical realm. We fix things, we help folks, we give gifts, we counsel in the physical realm. But the work of that physical realm is into the spiritual, supernatural realm. Here, let me give you an example. In James chapter 5, Jesus is talking about, through Pastor James, He's talking about healing taking place. James chapter 5. Is anyone among you sick? Verse 14. Call the elders and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Now I need to let you know that. How can I say this and be kind? Let me say it this way. I've gotten in trouble for believing that. I believe that if someone is sick and they call for the elders of the church, that the elders of the church ought to pray for them. And that they can do this in faith, that the Lord will save, raise up, and if they've committed sin, forgiven. Because there is some effect of sin on physical well-being. There is. We can do this. As a matter of fact, I carry with me a bottle of oil to anoint, olive oil, as requested following this procedure. Because we enter in doing physical work, a spiritual realm. We do. Now, he goes on here. He says how to do this, verse 16, and he wraps it up by saying this, verse 19. Notice it with me. He says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back. So you're going along as a believer, and there's another person who's kind of been around the Word of God. They've been exposed to it, but they wander off from it. And if you bring him back, verse 12, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What Jesus is talking about is us entering into this spiritual realm, going to a brother and ministering to them, ministering encouragement, ministering the Word of God, ministering to the unsaved the Word of God. And we in this physical realm, go into the spiritual realm, and we do greater works than Jesus. The scope is further, the extent is further, because we've joined it. And that Jesus had this in mind becomes very evident, because that very night in John chapter 17, verse 20, he prays to the Father, and he says, "Father, I do not pray for these my immediate followers, but I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word." Do you hear that? That's us entering in this physical realm into that spiritual realm, which is far beyond us, which requires supernatural, for without him we can do nothing, and we enter into that, and we do greater works than Jesus did in scope and in realm. This is an amazing truth. This is an amazing truth of the power that is available for us to tap in on. And it has the amazing power of the Son to do exceedingly more than what we could ever do with our own little shovel. And he wants us in on this. He's asking us to be in on this. We will do this, and we won't be doing it on our own. We will be doing it because Jesus said, "I'm going to the Father." That's what he says is the reason why this amazing what takes place, works that he did and greater works. Because he says, "I'm going to the Father." What's Jesus doing since he's gone to the Father? He's interceding for us. Matter of fact, Hebrews 5 says that he is our great high priest. We have a great high priest who's ascended there, who can be touched, who has sympathy with our weaknesses, because he was tempted in all things like we are. But without sin. So we have him there, somebody who knows and who feels what we know and feel in our weakness. And we can come boldly to him and find grace and mercy to help. What does this have to do with doing what Jesus does and greater things than Jesus did when he was here? It has to do with us having Jesus there now and him giving grace and mercy to help for us individually, for us to pass along. Grace and mercy to help. Help in a way that's supernatural. It's power of the Son to do things more than we can do with our shovel. Folks, there's a way to tap into this. And it is. Now, you do remember that I told you that I got in trouble? Got in trouble as a pastor with some deacons because I did that ministry to a person who asked. Got in trouble with some deacons because I did that ministry of praying, like James told us, for some people who asked. Husband, wife. Wife had Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, came with that request. And it so saddens me because it so ministered to her and her husband. She was lifted up, she was renewed in confidence, but because it had this ooh, supernatural tone to it. They didn't like that I did it. It saddens me that as a church, we don't realize that we work in the supernatural. And it's not my idea. It's what Jesus told us to encourage us to get with him in this, to minister good everywhere, to minister grace and mercy to help in time of need. That's supernatural. And I want you to know, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down on that. I still will anoint with olive oil. And I still will anticipate God to do what he said. And it's not my hand. It's living in accord with him on this. Taking into account what he said. And this is scary. This is scary. This is scary. Because there are excesses where people think it's their hand that does it. I get that. But because of excesses, shall we back away from what the Lord said? What do you think? I don't know how strong you think about that, but I'm pretty strong. No way! Not backing away. Not backing away. So, why? 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 Why will we be able to do this? Why will we be able to do greater things? Why will we be in the spiritual realm with a broader scope and an extended realm with people? Jesus tells us why. Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name. We go there, we're able to do this because you ask in Jesus' name. Now, this is not saying a prayer and ending it by saying, in Jesus' name, amen. Do you know that is never in the New Testament anywhere? There is never a prayer that's said in Jesus' name. Never. Never. But many of them are said in Jesus' name without the formula because it's not about that phrase being added. By the way, I don't oppose to that phrase. I say that phrase. I say that phrase because it's a good reminder of how this really happens. It's in Jesus' name. But the New Testament never gives us that because that's not the issue. That we attach this, therefore, we're good. It's in Jesus. No. It's because it's really done in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to know this praying in Jesus' name is a blank check. Charles Spurgeon, who was a preacher from a while ago, he has a little book called Faith's Checkbook. What this is that there is some big deposits. There is a lot of, what shall we say, resource in heaven. And by the way, just to give us a picture of this, the Bible tells us, let's see, the Lord owns the cattle on what? Thousand hills. That's kind of picture of the resources he has. Like, how many cattle are on a thousand hills? I don't know. A lot. Not 1,000 cattle, 1,000 hills, and cattle on 1,000 hills. And by the way, it's very interesting. This is a true story. There are some folks in the heritage of our faith, Lewis Berry Chafer, Harry Ironside, Donald Barnhouse. Those guys were together. They were trying to do a work for the Lord. It was a seminary down in Dallas, Texas that they were working on, trying to promote the teaching of God's word in people's lives so it gripped them. But they were at a place where they just didn't have the resources. So those guys, maybe some others, and I'm not sure exactly who all was in there, those guys were all part of this group that was forming and working with this school that they were starting to teach God's word. And they were together, and they realized they didn't have the resources, and so they quoted that verse. You know, Lord, you say you have the cattle on 1,000 hills. Could you sell some of those cattle and bring us the resources? And you know what happened? That day, a cattle rancher shows up and says, I've been selling these cattle, and I've got it laid in my heart that I need to bring this to you. And he delivered the money. You see, it's a supernatural realm. It's a supernatural realm. And we're subject to dismiss that. But those guys glorified the name of the Lord. And they did it out publicly because they prayed in accord with Jesus' name. This is a blank check. This is a blank check. And it's a blank check with a power of attorney. Jesus' name. You know what the power of an attorney is? If somebody signs off the power of attorney, that means you control all their resources. You control them all. I remember a guy who was a Bible teacher that I knew well that was going overseas, and he had to sign a power of attorney over to someone, his father in that case. And he did it, and he did it with trepidation because suddenly he controlled everything. And he got the power of attorney. Controlled, handed over to them. This is a blank check with a power of attorney. There's a checkbook, infant. That's Spurgeon's point. There's a checkbook in heaven with resources that are amazing, and you got the blank check with the power of attorney. He says, whatever you ask, condition in my name. In my name. Now, Jesus gave this, he said, for the purpose of joy, and you can check this, that your joy is there, your happiness of heart, and it's full. That's what he said. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. He did this. Whatever you ask in my name, you'll do. And he said, I say this to you so that my joy may be in you, yours full. But when we ask in Jesus' name with the promise that I will do it, we need to do it specifically. His promise to says, I will do it, is a specific promise. I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. What? What you're asking. So, if you leave your prayers in general requests, God bless all the missionaries, make them happy and healthy and successful, then guess what you have? This unseen, undiscernible thing that you just prayed for to bless all the missionaries. But if you pray specific, you pray specific. You know, we got a specific prayer request. We have a building here. And we need a building, and we need to be at. And here's where we need to ask. Lord, make some arrangement for this building to go on for us. We've talked with our leaders. That would be a good request. And ask, Lord, make us an arrangement. Now, we have a particular arrangement in mind that we'd like to see if the Lord would do this, but we ask specifically. Now, I want you to know that to buy this building is way beyond our resources. And to run this building would be way beyond. But we ask. I'm daring to ask. You daring to ask? Let's be daring to ask. If you agree with me, maybe you don't agree with me, then don't ask. I'm asking. But we have put that to him in the prayer request with the aim that Jesus had in mind. And he's going to tell us what it means to pray in his name in just a moment. He's going to, and we'll do it now. It's in his name when it's aligned with his aim. When his aim which was that the Father be glorified, is in our heart, that the impression of God be made bigger, not bigger than it really is, but that it be recognized for what it is, that the opinion of God and his power, his majesty, his ability be brought out, be given into people's minds and hearts, that they carry that opinion. That's what it is for the Father to be glorified. Sometimes this is said to be magnified, and it's not magnified like a microscope, something that's really little you make big. It's magnified like a telescope, something that is far away from people. The glory of God, his brilliance, his ability, what he can do in your life, that it be brought close when you align with what the aim was that Jesus had, and he states it here. He says, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, aligned with me, my direction, this will I do. It's a promise. I will do it for this reason, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's what he says to us. And finally this. He wraps this up by saying, that is, because, well, let me quote John Calvin here. John Calvin really helps us out in this. You know, sometimes John Calvin is kind of viewed as being a, what shall we say? Austere, distant kind of person, untouched. Listen to what John Calvin said on this. He, talking about the Lord, added this clause. If he had not added this clause, the consolation, the help that he was giving, don't let your heart be troubled in what you're going through. Believe in God. Believe in me. Specifically, I'm departing. Don't let your heart be the consolation of that. Don't be uptight. Would not have been complete, particularly since our memory is so short. When we are called to consider the gifts of God, granted through our prayer, on this subject it is unnecessary to go for examples, for when God has loaded us with every kind of blessing, and if he pauses for 14 days, 2 weeks, God's bringing out this blessing, we have this blessing going, but suddenly I don't see the blessing, and I'm out here on my own. And it feels like God's abandoned me. If he pauses the blessing, we fancy that he is no longer alive. This is the reason why Christ not only mentions his present power with the apostles, and at the time we had that, they beheld it with his eyes, but he promises an uninterrupted continuance, conviction of this in the future. You ask anything, I will do it. Jesus says this again because our memories are so short. We are so prone to forget that when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit, you're born in the spiritual realm, you're granted by Jesus a blank check with power of attorney that involves anything that aligns with his will. So he repeats, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. It is promise. Let me close this morning with this. When I was a kid growing up, I lived on a farm. You've heard that. You've heard me use my farm and stuff, you know, calling the cows and all that kind of thing. You've heard that. When I was a kid on a farm, there was this family in our area that had a farm. And the parents had done well with the farm, so they went to Europe. And when they went to Europe on this extended trip, they signed the power of attorney over to their son. And their son, as the power of attorney, sold the farm while they were gone. And he bought an airplane. He wasn't a pilot, but he bought an airplane with it. And he flew the airplane. Now, I don't know exactly what he did, but I remember hearing the story that he flew under a bridge with the airplane. I don't know. I know I've seen movies, people doing that. I don't know. But I want you to know that this power of attorney in Blake isn't so we can just use it for whatever we want. James says that. It looks at our motive. You don't have because you don't ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask it with wrong motives, that you may consume it on your own desire. The guy sold the farm and used it for the plane he wanted, and he wasn't even a pilot. That's amazing. That is amazing. That's not what God is giving to us here. He's giving us this blank check with the power of attorney as it aligns with what Jesus' aim is. Then ask me anything about a building, anything about the life of this person that I'm interacting with, anything about people you have opportunity to minister to, that God would specifically bring them to Christ, that God would help them to see how to find purpose and meaning in their life, how anything in my name. And I will do it. Your experience should be notably marked by this. Your and my experience of shoveling the stuff that we have in our life should be marked by the power of the Son. Father in heaven, this is true. Don't let us be so nonchalant in our physical realm that we dismiss this powerful spiritual realm that you have given us blank check and power of attorney to use in our requests. This is an over-the-top promise. And God, there are greater things. There are greater things that are yet to be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.